Peter Marshall was one of the most acclaimed ministers in the United States in the middle of the 20th century. He's a great preacher, and particularly well known for being the long-term chaplain of the U.S. Senate. And Dallas Willard tells a story about him in his book, Hearing God. Peter Marshall was Scottish, and he had happened to be back in the U.K. When one night he was walking on a foggy, pitch-black Northumberland night. And he was taking a shortcut across the moors in an area where there was a deep, deserted limestone quarry. And as he plodded blindly forward, an urgent voice called out, "Peter!" He stopped, answered, "Yes, who is it? What do you want?" But there was no response. Thinking he was mistaken, he took a few more steps. The voice came again, even more urgently, "Peter!" At this, he stopped again, and trying to peer into the darkness, he stumbled forward and he fell to his knees. Putting down his hand to brace himself, he found nothing there. And as he felt around in a semicircle, he discovered that he was right on the brink of the abandoned quarry, where one more step would have certainly killed him. True story. Wouldn't it be great if we could hear God like that all the time? Wouldn't that be nice? Most of us would like that, wouldn't we? It would make hearing God a whole lot easier if I could, well, hear him like that. Well, if you are in church this morning, and you are, here's something I'm assuming about you. You want to hear God. You want to hear God. You ask questions like, how can I know God's will? Or how can I know what God is saying to me? And while these might be some of our most vexing questions, they're also just gorgeous. Because they come from a true love for God. A real desire to do his will. So it's also true, though, that this topic of hearing God is one that is characterized not only by longing, but also by a lot of confusion. And also by some really legitimate questions. So let me ask a few rhetorical questions, all right? And then followed by one for a show of hands. So these are just rhetorical, but just see if these are any of your experience. How many of you have ever wondered, how can I tell the difference between God's voice and my voice? How many of you have ever wondered if a thought that you had was God's voice or just some holdover voice from my own baggage? How many of you have ever felt like God was saying something to you, but some other dominant voices in your life really disagreed, so it became confusing? Have you ever heard the thought or even had it yourself, well, God spoke in the Bible, so anything you need to hear from him is in his word, anything else is suspect? Or maybe you've been on the receiving end of a God told me statement. And you weren't so sure about it, but there was really no easy way to respond because you couldn't disagree with God, right? Have you ever heard someone else's story about God speaking to them and you thought to yourself, gosh, I wish God would speak to me like that? Have you ever had the thought, well, it wasn't a burning bush, but it really seems like this is from God, but how can I be sure? Or how many have ever waited for a burning bush so that you could be sure of what God said and that it was him who was saying it? In other words, you were afraid to move until something phenomenal happened to confirm God's will. How many of you have ever received what you felt like was silence from God? And you weren't sure what to make of that. And you asked the question, why isn't God speaking to me? Why is he so silent? Well, okay, here's the question for the show of hands. How many of you could find yourself in any of those questions? Right, all of us. Of course, it takes time, and it takes time to learn and to figure out how God speaks so that we can begin hearing his voice. And being able to confidently hear God's voice leads to a whole other relationship with God. So much more than merely a relationship characterized by master and servant. Far better is the language of the relationship between a loving father and a child. Far better even than that is the language of relationship that Jesus gave us in our gospel reading today in John 15. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you my friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made it known to you. Now, taking these two images together, Dallas Willard writes, "The biblical record always presents the relationship between God and the believer as more like a friendship or as a family tie than merely like one person's arranging to take care of the needs of the other." And there's another sort of relationship that happens when we have learned how to hear God and make hearing his voice a lifestyle. This is from Oswald Chambers. I put it in your sermon notes because I love this so much. It's so beautiful. He writes, "Get into the habit of saying, 'Speak, Lord,' and your life will become a romance. Every time circumstances press in on you, say, 'Speak, Lord,' and make time to listen. And as we listen, our ears become more sensitive. And like Jesus, we will hear God all the time." What a promise! A life with God like a romance? And what an invitation! Hearing God like Jesus? So it's worth taking these next few weeks and really dive into learning as much as we can about hearing God. Not just for the sake of learning, of course. This is not just the accumulation of knowledge, but rather so that each of us can claim this promise all the more and live into that invitation. So that's what we'll do. Hopefully try to move past the confusions so that we can say yes to the invitations. And we're using Dallas Willard's book, Hearing God, Developing a Conversational Relationship with God. We're using this as a resource, and we'll be referring to it often. And he opens his book with this conviction. He says, "I continue to believe that people are meant to live in an ongoing conversation with God, speaking and being spoken to." And so I really encourage you to get a copy of this through Amazon this coming week and start reading it over the next 6 weeks or so. Before his death, not that long ago, Dallas was a longtime professor of philosophy at the University of Southern California. He was also the author of quite a few very influential books in the Christian community, books like The Divine Conspiracy or The Spirit of the Disciplines and the one that we're using. Now, his writing isn't always the easiest. However, it is always worth the effort. His books have changed many lives. And I continue to appreciate how much his thoughts have shaped my own, so much so now that I'm not even aware of how profoundly he's shaped my thoughts. And so this is from the back cover of the book, linking this little sermon series that we're doing with the long one that we just ended about the kingdom of God. In this book, Dallas provides rich spiritual insight into how we can hear God's voice clearly and develop an intimate partnership with him in the work of his kingdom. There's the link, right? We are learning to hear God's voice so that we can partner with him for his kingdom work in the world. And there are so many good sections and insights in this book and so much interaction with Scripture. One of my favorite sections in it is where he goes through the six ways that God spoke to people in the Bible. The six ways that God spoke to people in the Bible. It's really nice to have those cataloged, actually. And in the Bible, we see six ways that God talked to people. One is a phenomena with a voice. Think the burning bush. Second way is a supernatural messenger or an angel. So think Gabriel to Mary. Third one is dreams and visions. Think Peter on the rooftop. Fourth way is an audible voice. Think Samuel. We heard about this morning. Fifth way is the human voice. Think Moses to Pharaoh. And then the sixth way, that is the human spirit or the still small voice. Think about Paul talking about how we have been given the mind of Christ. Now, one of these is the primary way that God speaks to us today. But I'll leave that for John Yates to explore next week. But I'll give you a hint. Which one do you think it's not? It's not a burning bush. But of this list of the six ways that God speaks to his people in the Bible, here's the line from Dallas that I just love. So encouraging, so exciting. It says, perhaps the first thing to say about this list is that there is no foundation in Scripture, in reason, or in the very nature of things why any or all of these types of experience might not be used by God today. In other words, all of those six ways that I just listed, Willard's saying, there is no reason to believe that none of them can happen today. In fact, there's every reason to believe that it can. And God speaking in those ways in the Scripture demonstrates to us ways that he is able to speak, and there's no reason to think that he doesn't do that anymore. Isn't that exciting? There are ways that God can speak to us, and he uses a lot of them. So there's a couple of huge basic affirmations here. One is that God speaks. Our God speaks. Second is that God still speaks. God still is communicating with us. Third basic affirmation, God has spoken in a lot of different ways. And the fourth affirmation, God speaks in a lot of different ways. And one implication about why it is that sometimes we find it hard to hear God is because we expect that he'll speak in one way and we listen very intently for that tone of voice or for that way of communication. But in fact, God might be speaking to us in another way. But because we are not looking for that, right, we don't hear him. And in fact, we might even think he's not speaking, even when he is. Does that make sense? A dear friend of mine and John Yates's a couple of years ago was once involved in a serious dating relationship that was moving with lightning speed toward marriage. But neither of us knew about this relationship until after it had broken up. And I was close enough to this person to share that I was surprised that we hadn't heard about it. So I asked, why didn't you tell us? And he said, because I knew what you guys would say. Right? Had he come to me and John about the wisdom of this relationship, we might have been able to share our concerns. Right? But he was not wanting to hear that message, so he was unable to hear that message because he didn't reach out in a way that God could have very easily spoken. Does that make sense? Sometimes we don't hear God because we expect him to speak in one way when he's actually speaking in another. So as we start diving in more deeply into how we hear God, we want to start this series with some basic truths, with some fundamental principles, and let one of the most beloved stories in the Old Testament give them to us, and that is the story of Eli and Samuel found in 1 Samuel 3. You'll probably want to turn there if you brought a Bible with you or pull it up on your phone. The context is that Israel has been through the Exodus, they've been through the wilderness, they've inherited the promised land, and they were governed for a long season by judges. And the last judge comes onto the scene now, and that is Samuel, who we are introduced to as a little boy with a remarkable story that we heard this morning. Now, Samuel had already had an unusual birth. He was the direct answer to his mother's prayer. And he was given in service to God, so he grows up in Shiloh near the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the precursor to the temple. In those days, the tabernacle set up in Shiloh was where the presence of God dwelt. And Samuel was raised by the priest Eli. And then after some years, recounted in 1 Samuel 2, chapter 3 picks up the story. Verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. But then God breaks his silence and he speaks audibly to Samuel, who is now a young man, and he's now in the temple. Samuel thinks that it's Eli, so he runs to Eli and he says, "Here am I, here I am." And Eli says, "I didn't call you, go back to sleep." Same thing happens again. Finally, a third time, God calls again. Samuel runs to Eli again, and Eli finally understands that it's God's voice calling to Samuel. And Eli says something different this time. Verse 9, "Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant hears.' And then the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel, at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle.'" So from Samuel's story of hearing God's voice, we can learn a lot about hearing God's voice. So let's cover quite a bit of ground quite quickly. I've given you this bullet list of some lessons that we can learn from this passage about hearing God in your sermon notes. So we're going to see if we can do about 14 points in about 10 minutes, shall we? Obviously, this sets you up to really look at this week, really, and to really dive into it and explore these things for yourself. But I just kind of want to lay out some of the basics here. So the first thing is, verse 1 of the chapter, there is variation in the amount that God speaks. Did you see that? There is variation in the amount that God speaks. Verse 1 of chapter 3. "And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision." In other times, there were times when the word of God wasn't so rare, when there was a frequency of vision. First thing is, there is variation in the amount of God, that God speaks. Second thing, there is such a thing as faithfully following God without knowing God. This is fascinating. This is the difference between our faith in God and our relationship with God. So you see in verse 7 of chapter 3, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." That's interesting, isn't it? Because in chapter 2, we see in verse 18, Samuel was ministering before the Lord. He's ministering before the Lord. Verse 21, "The young man Samuel grew in the presence of the Lord." Verse 26 of chapter 2, "Now the young man Samuel continued to grow, both in stature and in favor with the Lord and also with man." And then in verse 3:3, it says, "Samuel was lying down in the temple." So, all that to say, it's very interesting that there is such a thing as serving God versus knowing God. Third thing is, being in the presence and the place of God is a great place to hear God. It was in the temple of the tabernacle that God spoke to him. We just read that in verse 3:3. "Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was." So, it's not the only place you can hear God, obviously, but I will say, being in church is a great place to hear God, right? With the presence of his people and the presence of his praise, the presence of his spirit together, being where God is a great place to hear God. Fourth thing, God knows us by name. God knows us by name. We heard it in the story of Peter. We heard it in the story of Samuel. Verse 4, "The Lord called Samuel, and he said, 'Here I am.' Verse 6, "The Lord called again, 'Samuel.' Verse 8, "The Lord called Samuel again." And then in verse 10, "The Lord came, stood, calling at other times," not once, but now twice, "'Samuel, Samuel.'" A direct implication of the fact that God knows our name is this, that God wants a unique relationship with us. The God who knows your name because he knows you wants a unique relationship with us. Again, from Willard. We might ask ourselves, how could there be a personal relationship, a personal walk with God or with anyone else without individualized communication? Without individualized communication. You know, a lot of us for a very long time sustain ourselves with the insights of others and how they relate to God. We might hear it in a seminar, we might read in a book, we might hear it in conversation, and then we subconsciously try to duplicate that sort of relationship as our relationship with God, right? You ever had that experience? Finding someone else's spirituality and basically trying to mirror it so that you can get closer to God? What this is saying is that actually, God wants to have a unique relationship with us. Why? Because we're unique. We'll talk more about that in a few weeks. Fifth thing, sometimes others don't hear the voice that we're hearing, right? We don't get out of this passage that Eli was hearing the same voice. No, Samuel was hearing the voice, going and reporting it to Eli. Sometimes others don't hear the voice we're hearing. Next thing is that at the same time, sometimes we need others to confirm that it is indeed God's voice to us. So this is where Samuel actually gets some real help from Eli, right? Finally dawns on Eli, wait a second, this isn't my voice, but he's clearly hearing a voice. He must be hearing God's voice. And Eli gives him something simple to do. So the ministry of folks who are farther along in their spiritual journey than we are and can help us hear God's voice becomes really important in our own development. We're thinking of older and wisers, you know, or Wes mentioned this morning the ministry of spiritual direction, which is exactly that. It's designed to help a person listen to God. So then there's the quintessential response when we wonder if God is calling us, and this is in verse 3 and 4, this is in verse 4 and 6 and 8, right? The quintessential response when we wonder if God is calling us, we say, here I am, for you called me. I love that as a response when we are not sure what the voice is, when we're not sure what's going on, when we're not sure what God is saying or if God is saying anything. It's just wonderful to throw open our hands and say, well, here I am, for you called me, and see what the Lord does. So if that's the quintessential response to God's voice, here's the even better response, and this is our eighth point on the list, even better. Speak, Lord, for your servant listens. Speak, Lord, for your servant listens. We see this in verses 9 and 10 of our chapter. This is the essential requirement for hearing God. Listening. Kind of obvious, right? Kind of obvious. Because, of course, if we're not listening, we can't hear. Just like in any other conversation, in any other relationship, if we are not listening, we cannot hear what the other person is saying. We've all been on the receiving end of those conversations, right? When someone just keeps on talking and you try to get a word in edgewise or you try to say something, but it's clear that they're not paying attention to you, right? And they would have a hard time hearing what we'd have to say because they were unable to listen. It works the exact same way in our relationship with God. Something I learned a long time ago, that is, if you want to get some really good clues as to how our relationship with God works, actually, study how actual human relationships work. We've been given them as insight into how relationships work, and a lot of those lessons translate over into our relationship with God. God is quite happy to be on the receiving end of our continual monologue of our anxieties, of our concerns, of our petitions, even our praises, right? He's quite happy to be on the receiving end of all that. Why? Because he's patient, and he's gentle, and he's gracious, and he's merciful. But he really loves it when we stop talking and we say, speak, Lord, for your servant listens. And when we create space to be able to hear what it is that he's wanting to say to us. You know, just consider the life of Jesus, who again and again and again, it tells us, went off into a desolate place, or he withdrew into a quiet place by himself to pray. We see that all throughout the book of Luke. We didn't get to talk about it last week, even though it was in our passage last week, that Jesus is constantly pulling away in order to be in relationship with his Father, to be in conversation with his Father. The best definition of prayer that I've been able to come up with so far is this, that prayer is a conversation with God as if he is actually there. Prayer is a conversation with God as if he's actually there, because he is there. And when Jesus would go off to pray, we know that there was a lot of conversation. And conversation implies listening. So often throughout the book of John especially, Jesus says something along the lines of this. He said, "I only say what my Father has told me to say, and I only do what my Father has told me to do." There is a lot of listening implied in this. And again, Oswald Chambers, as we listen, our ears become more sensitive. And like Jesus, we will hear God all the time. So, back to Samuel. So as we listen, 9, God speaks. And this is what we heard in verses 3, 11 through 14. It is a word of judgment on Eli and his house and Eli's sons, who are also priests, because his sons were blaspheming God. Eli, as the chief priest, knew about it, but he didn't stop them. And what we see from this is that not only can God speak, but God can speak quite specifically, with quite a level of detail. And then next, what we also learn from those verses is that God's word to us isn't always about us. God's word to us isn't always about us. Shocker, right? It doesn't always have to be about me. Sometimes God wants to say something to us for somebody else. Then the next one. This is in verse 3. We didn't read this from verse 15. That God's word can lead us into uncomfortable situations. So the Lord speaks to Eli something very, speaks to Samuel something very sobering. Bad news for Eli via Samuel. Samuel lay until morning when he opened the house to the doors of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. Sometimes God's word can lead us into uncomfortable situations. The next thing is that we learn from this passage is that God's word is verified by their coming to pass. God's word is verified by its coming to pass. In chapter 4, we see that what God spoke to Samuel is exactly what happened. Israel had gone out to battle against the Philistines. They not only lost, but they lost the Ark of the Covenant to the Philistines, a national catastrophe. And Eli's two sons were killed in the same battle. The best way you know whether or not something is actually a word for God, the best way, of course, is in retrospect. Did it happen? Because God's words always happen. It's the nature of them. And that's our next point. That the word of God to Samuel came true. The word of God to Samuel came true because God's words come true. We see this in verses 19 and 20, where we also see that God's call and his word to us is broadly recognized by others. It's another way that we can know if it's God speaking to us, when it is broadly recognized by others. So let me just read these verses. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. The word of God to Samuel came true, as did all the rest of them. And God's word through Samuel is broadly recognized by others, just as it often is in our case as well. So for today, just for today, a couple of simple things in conclusion. First, let's get the book, shall we? Start reading it together. Dallas Willard, Hearing God. Second, let's orient ourselves these coming weeks on learning to hear God and becoming familiar with God's voice to us. Let's just orient ourselves on this question and on this learning. Third thing, then, is let's move deeper into that relationship with God, like a master to a servant, yes, and more so, like a relationship between a loving father and a beloved son or a beloved daughter, yes, and even more so, a relationship with God akin to a friendship. And even more than that, even a romance. We pray for us. Lord, here we are. Your servants are listening. And we want to hear you. We want to learn how to hear you. We are positioning ourselves to do that in these next weeks. And so I just ask, on behalf of all of us, that you would send out your Holy Spirit to us to teach us, to be guiding us, to be speaking to us, to be helping us to learn how to listen. So thank you for this opportunity to keep on graduating into another sort of relationship with you. We want it. We ask for it in Jesus' name. And we say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Amen.